Hey everybody, welcome to Matt Man, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm AJ Zarian. I'm joined by our very good friend of the show, friend of mine, Stevie Richards. What's going on, Stevie?
Not enough much. How are you?
You're a busy man doing all the podcasts now.
I am?
Well, you are.
That's news to me.
I don't know. I see you're doing a thing with Russo now. You've been since the last time. I don't know if you were doing the show last time you came on.
Well, we've been doing the show for probably, starting in January, a little more than 3 years ago.
Oh, shit. Then you have been doing it.
Yeah, I think I was.
I thought it would be, you know, normally during WrestleMania week, we do a lot of our interviews and we do a whole lot of stuff here. And this year, it's crazy. There's no shows, obviously. There's an empty building for WrestleMania. And I really wanted to get your opinion of this because this is the first time in history that we've seen anything like this on more than wrestling, right? All of sports is impacted by this. I wanted to get your opinion on, you know, how does this impact, you know, pro wrestling? How do you think there's going to be a hard climb up that mountain for the entire industry when things are said and done?
Well, there's a lot of different ways to look at it. The positive way they could have looked at it, and I think the window is already closed, especially since the lockdown order just came down for Florida. So they had to tape WrestleMania, and I think they taped the Raw after WrestleMania, which is the biggest one of the year, and they had to tape NXT. What they have after that, we don't know. I think they should have been a little bit more proactive with filming vignettes, with making it like WWE the movie, to have a complete retooling of the look, the feel, and the presentation of the product. They didn't do that. And they kind of just ran empty arena shows, which sports in itself, I didn't see the UFC fight, but I can only imagine that it looked and sounded just like Ultimate Fighter, which is okay.
Oh, yeah. You're the first one to bring that up. I haven't heard anybody bring that up.
UFC fight?
No. That it's like Ultimate Fighter. It's an empty building.
It's like whole Ultimate Fighter, but in another way, it's worse than Ultimate Fighter because at least AEW has some of the guys on each side, guys and girls, which, yeah, by the way, is against the law because it's more than 10 people if you count the cameramen. So, you know, WWE is kind of doing the same thing when they had the 6-man tag. But nonetheless, you're having an issue. There was an interview, I think, with Keith Lee. We were covering on the Friday Locker Room that we record Thursday mornings, myself and Ben Hameen. We were talking and Keith Lee said something like he got punched in the ear and he goes, yeah, it's going to hurt a little more for a while, but that's okay. And I'm like, well, it's not really okay, man. And that's what I think the dangerous part of what's going on now, if they continue to wrestle with no people, is the guys and the girls are going to hit each other harder to try to make sound.
Yeah.
Are going to do things to not try to hurt each other, but try to make it look even more real, which without a crowd, it's strangely, I can't even put my finger or describe the term of what it is. It's almost like surreal that you're working these matches with high intensity with absolutely no reaction from anybody.
Did you see the Keith Lee match from Wednesday?
I did not.
It was out of control. I mean, like, these guys were just, I mean, it was super snug and hard hitting. And I kept wondering, you know, you have nobody there going that extra mile. Is that help? Like what you said, you know, you're going an extra mile because you want to kind of fill in that void of not having an audience. Is that the way to do it?
No, I think this would be the time to re-debut characters and vignettes and everything outside of wrestling. Like they were, you know, I think one of the best things that was out there was the Edge promo backstage.
The one that was
right before WrestleMania talking about Randy Orton. Reminded me very much of the older ECW style promos where somebody's just sitting there and they're telling a story. They're just painting a picture. That's the kind of stuff I think that's missing. That's what I meant before. Like they could have proactively turned a negative into a positive and retooled the entire product and put a fresh look on it because it does need to be brought up to speed.
Absolutely.
But what I hear is that Vince is notorious for not selling meaning for casual fans, he's not, he doesn't pay attention to illness or sickness. So he's legitimately not even like the coronavirus isn't even a thing.
That's wild.
But it's a banned word from TV. Have you heard anybody utter the word coronavirus or virus or illness or flu?
I think they said the climate that we're in. That was
uncertain
the closest,
times, troubled times. Times.
Yep, that was it. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, come on, man. Doesn't that insult the intelligence of not just casual fans, but the fans that are their diehards that are like, why are you ignoring what's going on? Why are you not providing like even PSAs? I'm sure you have the question in line anyway. Roman Reigns is on social media talking about how he backed out of WrestleMania because of his fight with leukemia and his suppressed immune system. Yet the WWE is still advertising Roman Reigns versus Goldberg at WrestleMania.
You know, I find that to be, they're the only ones left in any kind of combat sport or entertainment in general that will not pivot if the card has changed. I know it says card subject to change, but why would you not? It's not going to change the attendance. It's not going to change the viewership that Goldberg isn't, that Roman Reigns isn't on it. Obviously, they taped TV. They didn't do it last week. They're probably going to do it. I hope they're, I don't know what kind of angle they're going to do on Friday to kind of shift away from this. This entire thing has been a disaster, top to bottom. I mean, there's no, and listen, it's not all their fault. The only thing I could fault them on is, and you're someone that, and I always bring you up for this, right? Especially in podcasting, you will constantly reinvent yourself. When you feel that something is not working the way that it should, you are very quick as a media personality to say, you know what, I'm going to shift and I'm going to go in this direction. I've seen you do it with podcasts. I've seen you do it with your fitness stuff. You are always self-aware. And listen, in wrestling too, your character, you know, you shifted constantly. Your ring gear,
sometimes
your
without
set.
Them knowing about it. Yeah, sometimes without the company knowing about it.
Yeah. But you're always thinking, okay, what's the next step? If anything, this was a great example of the WWE not being able to pivot because they have 20-something years of the fundamentals on how to shoot a wrestling show. I'll give you an example. Right now on my TV, I just have the network on, and it started playing Jericho and Shawn, I think, from WrestleMania 23. It's the same cuts, the same angles. Every time there's a high move, it goes to the same camera. It's shot the exact same way that it is today. They didn't pivot. How long did it take them to decide, listen, maybe it's not a good idea to shoot empty chairs. Let's shoot the hard cam looking at the stage.
When they saw AEW do it.
Of course. Yeah.
I believe that because it was the week after that happened or a few days after that happened.
And it looked great on AEW.
Thank God we were shooting the ramp because who wanted to miss that Gronk entrance on SmackDown?
Oh my God. I know.
But talking about, like, they have one director, Kevin Dunn. I mean, you know, obviously he's he's somebody that Vince trusts. He's been there forever, and you're going to get through the viewpoint of Kevin Dunn. So that's more of a stylistic thing. I don't think that's an indictment on the product. Now, when you're talking about empty arenas and guys hitting each other or spots being called and other things happening, and that's going to get exposed much more than even things are getting exposed now, because this stuff with the empty arenas, it has been business exposing. Sometimes business exposing bad, but mostly just business exposing, because it really looks so hokey, in my opinion, without the crowd interactions of the eight. You might as well kind of insert like canned applause and boos to at least have some semblance of... like Pavlovian at reaction, you know?
I was told they were actually from someone, it was a third party that was contacted about being an advisor on this, on how to possibly green screen a crowd.
Who? It's compared to what they've come up with, it's not the worst idea in the world.
I think technically not the it's best. Not there. It's not the best, but I mean, what are they going to do? Take the crowd from WrestleMania, you know, 30, 35 and just green screen it in that.
Well, if you're talking about specifically WrestleMania, what's the saying that's going around? I've seen the same comment be copy and pasted. WrestleMania 36 is the pay-per-view that none of us want, but we're going to get anyway.
Yeah.
It's a good way to describe it. Like he, yeah. Vince, for good or bad, you can judge this either way. I have no feeling about it one way or the other. He will die on the hill saying MLB didn't run, NFL didn't run,
but
NBA
did.
Didn't run. I ran when no one else, get this part right here. I was running when no one else was allowed to. Do you see what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm above all this, and I was able to pull it off. And when we were in these uncertain times, these troubled times, WWE was there. But the thing is, WWE being there has become a complete joke and a parody of itself.
Yeah, it's not.
I want to add one more thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
They haven't. You and I could have guessed. Hey, they're going to fill in 3 hours with an hour and a half Royal Rumble. They fill in an hour here, an hour. They're filling it. They're already filling it in with past stuff. So it's already kind of exposing this is what a crowd looks like. And now we're coming back to the uncertain arena, I'll call it. This is stuff that like somebody had to be looking at this going, my God, we got like 80 years worth of stuff on the network. Can we make WWE the movie? Can we just play the Attitude Era from when Austin won the title and just play that through episode by episode?
Yeah,
so I guarantee you the ratings would be the same or more.
Well, what I had said was last week, Rich and I were talking about this. I said, you know what I would love to see? A freaking watch along. Have mm-hmm. Austin there, have whoever else there, and just have them do a watch along of, you know, a pay-per-view or a match or a Raw every week. Just have key people sitting there and just doing a watch along. I find that more entertaining than what they're doing. They're putting the Royal Rumble on and for two. I mean, that was like an hour and a half, that Rumble. It was a great Rumble.
How do you have Hogan and Slaughter watching the WrestleMania 7 match talking about probably the most heat any heel ever had in the company
and not put on TV?
And you don't even put that. You don't even acknowledge that on either show.
Yeah.
Like that was on YouTube, on their YouTube channel. And you're turning around and not even telling people to go check it out or not even putting it on Raw or SmackDown.
It's too many moving parts.
You don't think anybody would watch that?
Yeah. That's the problem. The problem is it's too many moving parts. And at one point, somebody has to make a call. At the end, it's always Vince, right? But before it gets to Vince, how many ideas are being squashed before it gets to that point? And AEW doesn't have that problem. You know, for all intents and purposes, AEW has been putting on a way more entertaining show week after week with an empty building, with half the talent, right? Technically, they don't have the depth of the talent that WWE does on any level. I'm including NXT. I'm including the Legends. And they're able to put on a more of an entertaining show. I mean, visually appealing show on top of that.
No, I get what you're saying. They might be in a little bit more trouble in a different way themselves, just because running it from the undisclosed location, I believe, isn't because what they said, well, they want fans showing up to get autographs. I really do believe that, like, they're playing the part of, like, kind of like sleeper cells, Al-Qaeda type stuff, trying to actually stay ahead of this whole thing and not say exactly where they're at, because if there's a lockdown, a little bit of a conspiracy theory, but it's smart for them not to say, hey, we're in Jacksonville, Florida, and there's a lockdown order that's coming today, I think, right?
Yeah.
Okay. They can't say we're in Georgia, which the rumor is they are at the QT Marshall School, is what I've heard.
That's what
I
heard.
In Norcross, Georgia. That order is coming down Friday, I think, tomorrow night. So, undisclosed location. I mean, the governor of undisclosed location can't lock down the state.
Yeah. Were they I thought they were. Yeah, it looks like they were there, actually.
They were legitimately, it looked like, yep. I had been to that building. It looked like a kind of a warehouse, and that is a sports performance center out in Norcross, Georgia. I believe he had the school was Chip Smith Performance Center out in Norcross is where
I think Glacier's there, right?
Yes.
Yeah. You know what? They dressed it up nice.
No, it looked great. It looked great. But it's becoming the law. I'm not saying the law is fair. I'm not saying the law is right. I'm not saying the law is necessarily, over control. It's over, maybe a little bit of over control of a population, but you do have these guys and these girls that are that are sweating all over each other and doing things and they're in the age group. Hey, let's think about both companies. 20 to 29, if everything's to be believed from the information we have, 20 to 29 is the carriers.
Yeah.
They're the ones that are asymptomatic, not showing anything, but carrying the virus. Now you have how many dozens of them that are traveling around, flying, sweating all over each other, then getting back on a plane, getting on a rental car, doing all these things. If it's supposed to be transmitted so easily and stay that way for days and days and days, they're just willy-nilly going all around the country.
They're still traveling.
Does that make sense?
No, I you know, I understand the pre-taping. I think AEW did the same thing, right? They taped them, I think, the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. All 2 weeks, they did, you know, that's with the hope that there's a 30-day minimum lockdown. And we've already been kind of locked down in sort of a way for about 30 days, right? Since this whole thing hit.
By the way, I've been locked down before that. I came in contact with somebody that had COVID-19. I went to go get a flu test. I tested negative for the flu. I had extremely high fever. I had the cough. I had all the symptoms. I took the test, and there was a 7-day wait period at the time that I took the test. It was early March. We didn't have the accelerated tests. So I was quarantined. I believe since the 5th of March, I've been at home. No, the 4th of March, I've been at home.
Hmm.
So okay. I tested negative for both the flu and that. So take that for what you think. You know, I have no idea.
Oh, thank God for that.
Yeah.
I've been quarantined in my home gym for about 3-4 years now, so I'm okay.
you've been self-quarantined for many years.
Oh, this is just,
years.
Yeah, you call this a state lockdown. I call it Thursday.
But you know, you have a point. What do they do? What do they do in 2 weeks? Are they just going to do replays?
WWE has the advantage of 80. I'm just rounding it out, but I'm just call it 80 years worth of, or 80,000 hours worth of content that they can run at their disposal that they own from any wrestling promotion outside of AEW. I know they ran some Impact clips here and there. Who knows what could happen there? But AEW has a very, very limited lifespan of a library that they can run.
What, have 18 weeks, right?
You can replay a couple, what was it, all in, all out, double or nothing. You can go all the way back to the very, very beginning and replay those pay-per-views. That'll buy you 2 or 3 more weeks. But what if this thing just gets locked down, or this second wave hits, or the peak doesn't come for another few weeks? These are questions in a world where pro wrestling is about the 190th thing on everybody's mind, you know, outside of evictions and car repossessions and never getting their jobs back. I mean, there's real life stuff going on here.
Absolutely. So
getting to see Kenny Omega, you hit somebody with a real knee with no crowd, is not high on the list.
It's not at all.
Not at all, at least.
Yeah, it's a scary world we're in. By the way, you brought up conspiracies. I was talking to Meanie today, and he brought something up, and I wanted to ask you this. He kind of went into this. He said, if you can, ask Stevie about Pittsburgh to Philly, 1996, lost
UFO.
Time. The
UFO
he said
thing.
The law. I need to know this. He went into it, but he said you would tell the story way better.
100% real. Meanie and I do not drink, do not do drugs, do not do anything that could inhibit or change our memory or anything like that. We were driving from Pittsburgh. We used to go out to Steel City Wrestling and some other places sometimes out in Cleveland. So we would go, we'd do ECW, sometimes even work ECW and then work the Steel City show Sunday afternoon after a Saturday night show, wherever it was for ECW. We drive out, and then I got to be back to work in the ECW office at Carver W. Reed on Monday morning. So we're, you know, it's a long drive up, and we come right back after the show. So we're driving back, and it's not, you know, there's a part where it's kind of hilly and everything. Wasn't during that. But when we got to, I have to say, it's kind of like no man's land between kind of, just outside of York, Pennsylvania. I'm trying to recall like the bigger exits, and I'm frozen right now. Look at that. There you go. I'm back.
You're back. There you go.
from New York to Harrisburg, there's kind of like a few times where it's kind of like no man's land. It's kind of like not a, couldn't even be a dead zone, because back then, like, cell phones weren't even that much of a thing. It wasn't even like a 3G network. So it's probably like 2 or 3 a.m. And then, no kidding, we're about whatever 2 hours would be down the road along with those miles.
And out of nowhere.
On the side of the road. On the side of the road.
Oh, get out.
And didn't fall asleep or anything. Now, if we fell asleep and took a nap, the 2 hours and 110 miles or whatever we traveled during the 2 hours, dude, it's unexplainable. That's all I could say. We joked about it. That's why I call it the UFO story, because I was like, dude, did we get abducted by UFOs or something? Like, it's completely lost time. No, like I said, we've never done drugs, don't drink. Weren't drinking that night, especially, and trying to get back home to go back to work for both of us. So that's the story. I mean, it's not probably not as interesting as I would tell if I was more prepared for it. But
no, I know. I don't want you to be prepared. I just want to throw this at you because he brought it up.
I have to think it through, because I try to debunk the entire thing, and it's the strangest thing that's probably outside of a few like paranormal things that, you know, Mina and I have also discussed, and that's some evidence here and there, because I'm into that stuff too, and I'm fascinated by it. But God forbid, as fascinated as I am with stories like that, I never wanted to be part of that. So I don't know. People can think we're crazy or whatever. There's nothing like, you know, and I've had every part of me x-rayed and MRI'd. I have no, like I don't have a little, you know, some people say they have a little chip inside their body or some crazy stuff like that. That's kind of like a metal that no one's ever heard of. I have nothing like that, but I mean, probe meanie is what I'm saying.
You know, because I know, listen, I know you, I know meanie, and you guys are pretty squeaky clean, especially you. I know that you know, you barely have a beer.
I was driving, so I definitely wouldn't have done that.
Yeah. So the fact that you experienced something like this, it's fascinating. When he brought it up, I'm like, I got to ask him. Because I'm all into the UFO stuff and the paranormal stuff.
Now, what did he bring up the actual story, or did he just say, ask me to tell the story?
He brought it up very quickly. I mean, it was exactly very quickly that you guys were driving from Philly to Pittsburgh. It was 96, and
it was actually just Pittsburgh to Philly. I remember Pittsburgh that for Philly. A fact, yeah.
And there was just a loss of time. You guys lost like a couple of hours, and you were on the side of the road.
Yeah. Exactly how I remember. I mean, you lose like 15, 20 minutes. You think I just spaced out and I went on autopilot, or even 30 minutes. We've all done that on a straightaway road where you just kind of like, you know, zoned out with some of the music. Yeah. 2 hours is 2 hours and 100 to 110 miles. That's pretty freaky. You
know, he did say that
Men in Black are going to come talk to me.
He did say that Paulie had you guys working late doing promos that day.
That was the whole thing with Paulie. Like, if he knew you had an indie shot, he would keep you to last to like punish you in some way or rib you in some way. So we had 5 a.m. It was 5 a.m. We got our promos, and I think we just took a shower and then drove to Pittsburgh that morning for an afternoon show of like 2 p.m. Did the show. It might have been later, actually. I'm not sure. Or even a double shot. Sometimes we did a double shot, and then came back to, and then we were just basically easy victims for the aliens, I guess.
I think that's what it was.
Like, these guys are tired. No one ever believe them.
So I wanted to do like 30 minutes with you, but I had a couple more questions. What are you enjoying right now? I mean, not at this very moment, obviously, because wrestling is in a bizarre moment, being an empty arena show for everybody. But what do you enjoy? What have you been enjoying up until, I guess, all this happened?
I guess, right at this moment, we just finished watching Tiger King, which I
I fell into it.
Yeah, I usually don't fall into that stuff. But to look at that and watch my wife's reaction as what we call, a civilian, and see that, you know, like, I'm looking at it like, oh, yeah, I know a dude like that. Oh, yeah, I know a dude like that. Yeah, that's every day in wrestling. Oh, yeah. And she's like, these people can't exist. And I go, these are people I relied on to pay my mortgage at one time.
How many promoters do you know that are like
them? Oh, he's not even that. Those people aren't even as bad as some of the promoters I know. Yeah. But they're all they're all these people in the documentary. I can't believe like they didn't know the adage of like, don't point a finger at somebody because maybe two will be pointing back at you. Because everybody's going down from this documentary. They call a case on the woman who obviously like, dude, I don't know how she can't. It feels like she produced all her slow-mo walks and her turns. And, you know, she just looks about as batshit crazy as you can get.
As the,
I was watching and I'm like, I was like, yeah, Joe Exotic is just Joe Exotic. And then the guys are so like the guy with the bandana and the hat. And I'm thinking Oklahoma's pretty hot and everybody's dressed like it's the Arctic. That's what gets me every time. Like what in the world is leather jackets and suede this and jeans and
you couldn't cast that. I was watching my wife too, and I was telling Jess, I'm like, you know, if they attempted to cast these characters in a mockumentary, it would be impossible. These are real people.
No, they're absolutely real. And I feel bad because so many other people are somewhat normal and relied. It really reminded me a lot of a pro wrestler promoter relationship where you're relying on these people to make the right decisions and do things. And you give like these people 14, 15, 20 years, of their lives
of $100 a week,
$100, $150 a week, or you get to become a husband and you know, in a throuple or something.
Listen, you become in a throuple and you're getting paid in meth and guns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when someone's at my funeral doing my eulogy, don't talk in front of my mom or my dad about exactly, and then sing a song about yourself. Other than that, I'm really, I mean, that's that. I can't say I've enjoyed that, but I had to watch all 7 episodes.
I watched it twice already.
Yeah, you got to kind of do that. You miss a lot when you don't. But I'm actually following the news and the stories of the fallout is kind of. The extras on the DVD or something, the after episode type stuff. Now my whole thing right now, since we talk about something I'm not enjoying, but I'm trying to figure out is what my next Mac is going to be without getting screwed over in price, which is a virtual impossibility. Cause even if you go on an $850 MacBook or a Mac mini, you still got to get the monitor. You got a keyboard, you got to get the mouse, you got to get the eGPU, you got to get GPU. Oh, it's an iMac. Oh, I can't do anything with the iMac.
I picked up the 16-inch.
I'm looking at that. I was seriously looking at that. There was an open box at Micro Center for the i9 at like $2,231.
That's a good deal.
But I've heard nightmares about Thunderbolt 3 on those laptops and external displays and heat and fans and dude. It's just hard, man. You're looking at $2,000 no matter what.
I picked up the i9 and I got to tell you, it's better. Like right now in the studio with me, I have a 2018. I have a 2018, that became a 2018 because they had to replace the 2016 so many times that they just started handing me laptops. Cause they were lemons. These things, they were terrible. So I had my keyboards failed and they turned around. They're like, listen, we can't really just replace the keyboard. So they replaced the whole lower half, the trackpad, the monitor, the shell. So essentially it's a brand new computer again. So I'm using that at home and I got my 2016 locked in my office. I can't get to in the city. The 2019, the 16 inch.
Oh, the 16 inch. The good one is in the office and you can't get to that.
I would say
the good one because you, I don't know. That's why I have money after 30 years of wrestling, because I look at I'm not just going to buy a $2,500 laptop in order to buy a $300 dock to make it work. Cause I like to do all you're talking about. I have the production here. I use a lot of stuff. I actually use my iPad Pro for a lot of different stuff when I was putting up those videos on YouTube for a time. I'm still producing stuff with the iPad Pro. But gaming wise and using the Elgato products and all this stuff is, 2014 iMac is starting to show its age. Yeah. So I have to upgrade soon.
By the way, those Elgato products are phenomenal. They're great.
Yes. I have the Stream Deck here. I have the key light up there, which is one of the lights. I have the HD 60S Plus, which by the way, on a 2014 iMac, there's lag here on this. We're not using the Elgato, but there's no lag So I can use the instant game view to use the IMAX screen
Game
and then record. So I don't have to be over here and kind of everything like moved over to produce any streams. But I'm happy with all their products. They've been very good to me over the years. And I think they're going to say, I got the green screen too, which I think is the best green screen that comes up and down. And it kind of just gets stored in the corner. It's really good stuff.
No, they've done a great job with their products. Anything you're enjoying in wrestling?
No. I enjoy doing the podcast with Russo and Ben. I enjoy doing that. I really enjoy doing a Raw SmackDown review on Realm Network with Russo. We do Master Shoot Theater on Patreon, which is a nice little improv comedy act. I enjoy doing the podcast. I've always enjoyed podcasting. I mean, I obviously, talking about wrestling is not that fun at times, but it's fun to talk to other people.
But I feel like you've opened up more about talking about wrestling.
Well, I get paid for it.
Yeah.
Money makes everything better.
Is that how it works?
Hey, at least I'm honest, right?
That's the way to do it.
The whole thing was, here's the thing. With pro wrestling, I come from an era where it was very protected. Maybe not as protected as the generation before, but I'm kind of in that 1991 was kind of like still super protected and then kind of coming into sports entertainment. Laughing at it along with other, for the right reasons. Instead of defending it, I'm just going to laugh at it. I realized that I provided entertainment. I realized, like, not laughing at it, like, aha, putting people down, but just like
having fun with it. Yeah.
Yeah. Having fun with it. And like, you know, you try to give good advice and you try to leave some sort of credibility with it, which a lot of guys in my era and probably the era before me would look at me and ECW and say, well, you fucking ruined it too. So every generation destroys it after the last.
I'm going to tell you something. I've been doing a show for 7 years now. Seven years probably. It's fascinating to me because I've kind of gone into wrestling with Capital Wrestling and the promotion. I do the marketing for them and all that stuff, and I do the show. I get asked constantly, and there's two. And when people say like, "Well, kayfabe's dead," there are people that still believe what they saw on TV was real. And normal people. I'm not talking about, just normal people that have watched wrestling. They believe certain things were real. And I'm still to this day told this one thing by people. You know, WWF at the time or WCW, yeah, that was wrestling, but ECW was real. People still believe that. And that's amazing. I love that.
Well, there's a reason why. Because you do believe in a way that when Bret and Shawn didn't like each other in WWF, WWE, that was real, right?
Yeah.
Because they really didn't like each other. When things happen in the ECW, sometimes it just happened. I'm not saying I was ever involved with a lot of that, but there were some times where it was just like, ooh, this is real. Raven jabbing me in the mouth and busting my lip open and me getting pissed off about it. Yeah. And, things like that. There's moments where that's what makes you. And then obviously with the New Jack doing some of his violence and other things and the Shane Douglas thing on Gary Wolf, there's elements that are like reality that are placed inside. And then the storylines and the matches or whatever was determined to happen went along with that real life heat. That's why you say ECW was real, because it was really based in a lot of reality based stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then you just kind of embellish that and go into it's easier to go into a suspension of disbelief when you have people looking at like, oh, those two guys don't like each other. And guess what? They don't like each other. So it makes it real.
Well, I'll tell you ruined a lot of stuff for me because you turned around one day. I forgot what show we were doing. I think we were doing a tech show and we brought up, it was something with the news, it had nothing to do with wrestling. And you turned around and you said, Andrew, everything is a fucking work. Everything is a work. The NBA is a work. Football. And I believe that. Listen, I'm one of these. Maybe I'm a conspiracy theorist. I believe everything is a work.
I wouldn't go as far as saying everything's rigged, because people say
what I'm talking about is
things are manipulated.
Things
are manipulated in certain ways to present a way for the company and the organization or league or promotion to make money. Yeah. I mean, the biggest work right now in mainstream media is that picture of the hospital in Italy, Spain, and New York. It's all the same exact room with the laptop in the same exact place. Doctors walking at the same exact time in the video, and the patients are the same exact patients.
Now, is it a work due to incompetence, or is it a work because of manipulation? That's...
Well, I don't think it's manipulation. I think it's a matter of just uniform message. And I'm not, that by any means, I'm not saying that the coronavirus isn't real and what's going on with people dying isn't real or being sick isn't real. What I'm saying was, and still saying now, is that just mainstream media, what's Rahm Emanuel's famous saying? Never let a good crisis go to waste.
Yep.
They're getting the highest ratings they've ever gotten in history. Since 9/11, even more than 9/11.
Because it's an crazy everyday thing. Every day. There's a story. There's hope. There's no hope. You know, it's. I know this could be a whole separate topic for another day, obviously, which I would love to do with you. I'd love to do that whole conspiracy topic with you. But from what I know and what I hear, especially from the city, because we have liaisons to the city and the state for the business I'm in, it is nobody knows what they're doing. It is utter incompetence, top to bottom, and they're just making it up as they go along, and they're just, the narrative shifts depending on the hour. That's just how it is.
Well, that's a scary thing that they've kind of created the element that every, we call them Nancy Browns on the conspiracy horsemen, every casual citizen that doesn't want to take personal accountability and responsibility and looks to the mainstream media and the government to tell them what they need to do. That's why the toilet paper craze happened. It's somebody legitimately saw somebody who runs a huge restaurant buying 50 packages of toilet paper and says, oh my God, that's what, and I swear, dude, that's how it started.
Yeah, no, that is how it started, just like that. It was one person that bought a big giant thing and everybody's like, you know what? I better get it too. It's the haves and the have nots. That's all it comes down to.
Yes. And the thing with that is though, that the government now backed themselves into a corner, because I really believe if they just said, use common sense, stay clean, this is the facts we know. We don't know everything, but we're going to start learning more about this and get a vaccine. That takes the control out of their hands and puts the control in the hands of the citizen.
Yeah.
Citizens, I don't think, can handle that. And dude, could you imagine if there was an alien invasion at this point? What the hell will we buy now? Like spam? Spam is going to fight off the aliens.
I said the same analogy. I brought it up to right when this was happening. We were still out, and I think it was like the last day. I was at the local restaurant I go to. I was having a drink at the bar, and I said, you know, we are freaking out. We're buying toys. Like, think of the rationale here, right? There is a pandemic happening. People are getting and I hate comparing it to the flu, but let's compare it to the flu. A terrible version of the flu. 2% of the population is dying that gets this at the moment. And our response as people is to run to the store to buy toilet paper because they saw somebody buying toilet paper. I said, why do you think we'll never know that aliens exist? Why do you think the government will hide all these things? I go, this is how we're reacting. We're buying toilet paper for who knows what reason. There's no shortage of toilet paper. What we did, we created it. We created the shortage of food and toilet paper. I said, God forbid we find out that we're living in a fucking simulation. What are we going to do then? People looked at me like I was nuts.
Well, I don't even know if people can handle it if we were living in the simulation. That would be kind of freeing if that were the case. there's a lot of different things with that. I mean, I'm just saying, like, listen, there's a lot of negative you can look at with this whole situation, but I choose to look at the positive just because so many people now are becoming very resourceful in a way with their fitness. So the one thing that it scared a lot of people into saying, maybe I'm not healthy enough, maybe I'm not fit enough. This is not a plug for Stevie Richards Fitness or the products I have in the home gym, but I'm going to do it anyway. But the reason why it is kind of a plug is because I see the direct result of the people that are feeling that way because I get more emails than ever. The sales of the resistance band programs are way up. The affiliate code for Force USA and Diamondback Fitness are used like the past 2 months more than ever since I've had them. So the home gym, garage gym movement is without a choice, is actually surging right now. The home fitness industry is doing great. That's great for them. They're not capitalizing on it in a way where they're doing fear, but people are saying, my gym's about to close. My gym has closed. Yeah. I need to keep myself in shape and healthy so I don't get this virus. That's a great thing.
I need to get back into it because I'm fatter than ever right now. And every time I say today's the day I'm going to work out, I hear you in my back of my head telling me to go work out. And then I feel like I've plateaued with this staying at home, and I need to kind of kick it in. I did your workouts when I got in shape, and I got in really good shape. I mean, we would talk all the time. I went down to, I think, like 9% body fat when I was every day I was working out, and I had a little help. Obviously, I was doing testosterone, which was a tremendous help for me. But
we don't sell that on the site.
You don't sell that on the site. But I got to tell you, that thing, I know the cons with this thing, and I would love to do like a long-term conversation about this, but it changed everything about, I mean, you and I have spoken about this. It changed my entire life for like 2 years, where my thought process was clearer. My reaction to things was different. I was more motivated to work out. I was working out twice a day. I wasn't like a bodybuilder, but I had abs for the first time in my life. I had a six pack. And I was able to get bigger as I was doing it. Unfortunately for me, I had a rotator issue, and then everything went downhill after that for me. And I had two kids.
That's not an excuse there. So you should want to work out even more for them. And you know, the time I understand, but you know, you're home now. So it
and
should
then I got
be
a job. Definitely. That was the other problem.
Yeah. there's a lot of different factors. The thing with the, and we can go into a deeper dive on what I know. I'm not an expert, but testosterone and other stuff is a tool. I mean, if someone has very low testosterone, like in your case, and it needs to be brought back to a level that's normal so you can like gain muscle, lose fat, get proper rest, that's all good for that. You know, it's when people are trying to get their testosterone levels up to 1400. I mean, that's crazy.
Well, do you know what I think my problem was? I was heavily into working out when I was like 16, 17, 18. And I did certain things at that time that were not good for you. I was taking, you know, I was taking D-ball and I was doing all that stuff. So I got really big. And I think that shot my testosterone level, and it was down. I think when I did the test, it was like a 240 to 280. And when I was at the height of working out and doing everything, it went up to like a 980. So that's a big leap.
You're younger too. So I mean, there's some guys that I know, guys that have testosterone levels without that stuff of seriously like 30.
That's wild. And because they did certain things, or?
It all depends. I mean, there's guys that have. My testosterone is coming back up from changing diet, from other things. I still might need TRT, but we're talking about like the therapeutic dose is like half a cc every 2 weeks. So you're not talking about, I just hate needles and I want to avoid them like the plague. Not the one we have, but a different kind of plague.
Yeah, but you know what? Just, I never did the needles. I did the cream.
You got really great results off the cream, because I heard that effectiveness is probably half to 70% of what the injectables are.
I did
hard to say, man. You know, the whole thing is that it's that kind of stuff. And like I said, we can get into a deeper conversation for another time. It's really just, it's not that the testosterone, you know, even or other things would build muscle. It's really more about recovery.
It is.
A lot of guys who take things that I've seen over years, like DECA and things like that, were mostly for recovery from injuries, or to get them in the gym so they can work out and work past those injuries. So it's hard to say, man. There's always a use and abuse. It's like anything on the supplement market. Ephedra wasn't even a thing until somebody started mixing it with drugs and alcohol in a club.
GHB.
Yeah. Yeah. They abused it. Oh, GHB was an R1. Yeah, it was crazy. But that was a useful tool to get like bodybuilders and other people to get deeper sleep for more muscle growth and testosterone production, if I'm not mistaken. I know it promoted muscle growth.
Yeah, GHB overnight. It was for overnight muscle growth. And it worked, by the way. It would work. Unfortunately, people would abuse it.
Well, you can do a lot of different things. Now, there's different, like I said, we're getting in the deep dive of it. It's like pre-workout. You can take a pre-workout, but you kind of have to cycle off it for a little bit. You kind of have to cycle off of certain things. Now, testosterone replacement therapy, you don't really cycle off that because it's helping to elevate your testosterone levels with the hope that you're going to change diet, environment, because environment pollution and stress and all that stuff, they do inhibit it as well. If you can make those changes like I've tried to without the TRT, you're going to be even better off. Anytime you cannot put a foreign substance, even if you produce it naturally, you know, injecting or putting a cream to introduce a foreign substance is your last resort, like surgery. It should be your last resort.
Yeah, it's talking about surgery. You know, like people, I talk about like the problems that I have, and they're like, but you're not a wrestler, you're not an athlete. I was an athlete for many, many years up until my 20s. I was involved in a lot of stuff. My hip is gone on my left side because of my back problems. So I was seeing an orthopedic surgeon, and then this happened. I'm dying in pain on my left hip. It's worse than my back and my shoulder. It's brutal right now. And the only thing that helps is if I do a little bit of stretching and I'm able to kind of loosen it up a little bit. But it's brutal right now for me. Because I'm 36 years old and I've never wrestled. And I'm I can't imagine what it's like for you.
Dude, you're probably going to feel like crap. I feel good. Yeah, you're probably not going to like that. You know, what's the thing? Rust never sleeps. So a moving body never really accumulates that. I work out all the time. The home gym here has been such an absolute blessing in my life, and home-based workouts and the bands, everything that I've ever strived to do just for personal growth and satisfaction or recovery from injury has now been monetized in one way or another with Stevie Richards Fitness. The bands, people used to make fun of me. What are you working out with the bands for in the middle of a hotel room hallway or at an airport gate because I knew I wasn't going to be able to work out before I got dressed on the way to the arena from the airport.
And now it's
with my music hitting as I'm getting out of the car. So I needed to get the workout in somewhere and I got it in. But now people, you know, who tell me, oh, you're the resistance band or the rubber band guy. And it's like, why the hell not? That's cool. Or you're
that's
the
good,
home gym
works.
Guy.
Because
they made up the meme now of the home gym king, since the Tiger King is so
that's great
popular. So it's good stuff, man. It's good stuff. And like, I just take care of myself. I do very simple stuff. I try to always do different workouts that are fun. And I, you know, rely on just everything that I can to learn how to be better. Because for me to do that actually helps both my businesses out. So
yeah, absolutely.
It's all good.
Hey, before we wrap it up,
anyway, man, you might as well do it. That's my.
I know. I got. I'm going to do it. I'm going to get back into it. I'm going to do this.
Okay. You say that every time.
I know. Well, you know what? The last time I said it to you was like 4 years ago, and it worked. I got into it. Maybe this is the moment. Maybe this is the pivotal moment in this. Before we wrap it up, I did want to ask you. There's obviously a lot of conversation around the Chris Benoit mini series that Dark Side of the Ring did. What did you think of that? The 2-part episode that they did.
I've seen about half of the first part.
Okay.
So Tiger King has, you know, had me hooked for a little while. So I did watch some of it while I did cardio. Once again, you can watch Dark Side of the Ring, Andrew, while you do cardio or work out or do something. But yeah, I mean, from what I heard, we talked about it on The Horseman last night. There are some stuff that there's some questions about the way it went down. There's some questions about the investigation from what I know. And from what I know from the original story, there were some holes in time of death and stuff like that. Are these things that you're familiar with?
Yeah. Yeah. Were you in the company at the time or no?
Yes. We were in Corpus Christi, Texas for, it ECW. Was the first ECW pay-per-view. I believe it was supposed to be him and Punk and turned out to be Punk and somebody else. Yeah, it was Corpus Christi was the pay-per-view, and then it could have been actually, no. I believe Corpus Christi was the Raw, I believe, where we all found out on Monday. I could have those times wrong, but we were definitely in South Texas that weekend and into the week.
So here's where I was trying to figure this out, and you're actually a good person to ask. I remember when it played out, right? I remember that it was somebody had reported that he went home sick, or that I think Nancy was sick or whatever. That was a story. Then on mm-hmm. Sunday, it came out that he wasn't at the building. That Monday was the memorial show. What was the overall, I mean, you hear that three people have passed away. Chris has passed away, his wife and child. What was the, to go forward and do a memorial show where people talk about how great he was, what do people think happened? Did they think it was carbon monoxide or?
Well, yeah, there was something about, I'm trying to recall, because there's one part in particular I'll never forget, and it was just odd that I never followed up with anything after it was said to me. But when I was there, they brought us around the ring, and they announced it. And then it was saying, okay, they were having a house built, and it was carbon monoxide, and they all died in the house. That was the first story, from what I heard, from what I can remember in the circle of people that told me.
Okay.
So there could have been other stuff. Now, at this particular time, this particular moment, there wasn't anything or any kind of, you know, speculation that the other way happened.
Nobody thought that that was a possibility.
No one thought at all. So until what happened was, I'll never forget it. This is why I believe it was Corpus Christi, Texas, when it happened. Because I remember I was coming around. It was kind of a half circular hallway, as you know, the locker rooms can have in the arenas that are kind of round. And I was coming to an open point right before catering. And Val Venus grabbed me by the arm. I don't know why he did. Maybe I was saying something like, man, I can't believe Chris was such a good dude. Whatever I was saying to
So just
whoever.
To let you know, that match, I believe it was Vengeance. It was a Vengeance pay-per-view.
Oh, really?
Was
oh,
that
I'm
it?
Sorry.
I'm trying to remember.
I thought it was,
in
Texas. It was for the ECW title with Punk and Benoit, wasn't it?
I thought so too, but I thought it was Vengeance it happened.
It might have been a WWE pay-per-view. I'm sorry, because the ECW had a dismembered to remember.
It was Vengeance December, Night December. Of Champions. Yeah, Night of Champions 2007 was the pay-per-view.
Okay, but ECW TV was that week. That was when ECW was on the air.
Yeah.
Like, am I correct with that?
No,
right?
You're 100% correct. It took place at the Toyota Center in Houston.
It was Raw live, ECW taped, then SmackDown live. Mm-hmm. So it was Monday and Tuesday. Monday was Raw, then ECW right before SmackDown, I believe.
Yep.
Sometimes they switched them and taped it Monday, but most of the time it was taped live Tuesday and then aired at 10 o'clock. That's what I believe. Yeah. So I remember walking to catering, and I saw catering in the distance in this big open room as I came through the hallway where the locker rooms were. And Val grabbed me by the arm, and he pulled me aside, and he said, "Yo, dude," he goes, I'm trying to remember exactly the way he said it. He goes, he said something to the effect of, because I didn't hear the first few words, you know, because you're kind of like, what? All I heard was blah, 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 that Benoit might have done it.
Val said like, this.
Val, I just remember Val Venus is the one who pulled me aside. And I couldn't believe, and when I looked at him, you know, your normal response is, well, dude, where did you hear that from, right?
Yeah.
But you ever get so stunned by something? And then we were both kind of pulled apart, not in a fight sense, but Dreamer needed me for something, for whatever we were doing, and Val got pulled aside to talk to whoever.
Yeah.
So it always stuck with me that, like, I got him. I wish I couldn't even fathom who told him that, unless he overheard it or something. It was just the weirdest thing. And that was the inkling of whatever started to circulate. And then I remember the memorial stuff, which I wasn't a part of that. I guess I was not around, or they were only asking certain people to talk about Chris.
So,
and I just remember
Val said this to you. Val brought this up to you at Raw.
I believe it Raw, yeah.
Prior to Raw filming.
This is right after we found out that it happened.
Okay.
So I was kind of wandering around, I guess, stunned or whatever.
Because I was told, anybody... I was told by somebody, and I don't want to say who it was, but I was told that many people were very much aware as that show was being produced and it was happening, as they were recording those segments, many people were aware that it had gone down the way that it did. And I always found that very surprising.
What surprised me and what really stunned me more than anything was the fact that at the time when Regal was doing the memorial testimonial for Benoit, it struck me because I was like, man, he's really choosing his words carefully. Do you remember that?
When yes.
Regal was very, mm-hmm. like,
very careful. He was the only one actually out of everybody.
No, but he was saying something about the, it seemed like I can't even quote the, once again, so stunned. You kind of can't, it's so memorable in a way you can quite put it together as being real. It feels so surreal when he says, just trying to remember the exact words, because it was kind of like so vague and so disconnected from like somebody that knew him that way. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I know exactly what you're saying. And the thing was,
it's on YouTube. If anybody
it is,
wants
and it's in the documentary. It's in the documentary. They mm-hmm. did profile that and they did play the clip of it. And I remember when I watched it, when it was happening, because I brought this up to Meany, and it actually, you know, you talk about, he was talking about his podcast, because Meany's doing a podcast now.
Isn't everybody?
Yeah, and he was telling me how, I know.
Good for him.
You know what? I've been doing a pro wrestling podcast before any. No, good for him. And we gave it a plug on the show, and I want to help him out a little bit with that. But he was saying how certain things happen in wrestling that you kind of forget until someone brings it up to you, and then you remember, like, mm-hmm. The story. I remember I stopped watching after all of this, and I remember exactly, I was watching that as that Monday Night Raw was going on. I remember thinking it came out. I'm almost certain it came out that he had done what he did, and Regal was talking, and you're absolutely right. He was very careful on the words that he used, because it was almost like he was saying that he was troubled. Benoit was troubled.
It was very, it just comes off not eerie, just it just floored me. That's all. I just remember that stuck out, and so much had happened over the course of that 24 hours or so. That's why it's hard. Like Meany said, I kind of packed it away until like you asked me, then I have to unpack it and go, because we're on the road so much back then and doing things, and it still continued to move. The machine moved, even though it was a completely different business. And Jericho, I remember in that, one of the guys said, this nearly killed the business. Mm-hmm. And I believe him. I think we all just kind of understated in our minds what the effect this would be on the entire business. But now every single wrestler already had a stigma of not being the cleanest of U.S. citizens or whatever out there, that now, like, oh my God, are any one of these guys going to just snap and kill their wives and kids?
I
mean, that's the, you get a blanket stereotype no matter what. That's why Jericho and Mark Merrow and these other people went on Nancy Grace and other places to try to, I don't know, sometimes, you know, like a Jericho presented himself well, and then other things came off really, really bad for the
business. It's hard, right? You would imagine that it's hard because you are trying to protect the business, and you're trying, even to the end. I mean, even now, right, with Chris, when you hear people talk about him, I did think that this was a very honest.
Which Chris? Benoit.
Yeah, with the documentary, when they were presenting the pros of him, right? Like, you had Chavo there, and you had Jericho there, and a couple other people. Malenko, I thought it was interesting that they didn't pull back on the, you know, essentially everybody was saying that he was a great friend to them, but all of a sudden, like, you look back and you start noticing like bizarre activities and things that are happening and things that are being said. And if you watch in the second episode, you watch Malenko's wife, her responses were interesting to me. I don't know, maybe I'm reading a little into it, but her responses seemed very genuine, where she had a feeling something was happening.
I can't speak on it because I haven't watched the entire episode or both of them, so I don't know where hers. I think I was very early on, and this was when Benoit and her got together after the Kevin Sullivan thing. So that's kind of where I'm at on that. So I'm kind of early on in all this. Listen, if one of my friends did a terrible act, I'm still going to be like, well, that guy was a gay. I mean, I'm not going to, it's a tough spot to be in because you're turning around. You could easily turn. I know Jericho's had the same story throughout the whole thing. And then the opening had him saying it like, you know, if you don't want to hear this, then whatever, you know, because what I mean?
It has to be very difficult for somebody, especially, you know, you're on the road with these people, right? It's a camaraderie that you don't see in traditional work environments. And you know somebody for 20 years, and then this happens. Yeah, you're going to say this is a real, like, a monster thing to do. But every other memory prior to this is more in the positive category. It's so conflicted. These guys were so conflicted. The one that I feel so terrible for is for David, his son. You could see that he's so troubled by all of this. And, you know, that's his father. And then his whole adult life and high school life, he's been told that his father's a monster. You know, it was really sad. My my wife, and she's not really a wrestling fan, but she watched this and she said, oh my God, this was like, it was almost like it was the first time she ever really got into it. She couldn't understand it. And then, you know, I was like, she's like, well, why was there any problems with him? I'm like, you know, I don't know. You hear the stories now that he was a little off, but it's a lot of people. I talk to people not in wrestling, in regular work, that they're kind of a little wacky. So I understand why people are so troubled by the whole thing. I mean, the friends and people in the industry. And now, you know, he's a name that you can't say, but he's replaced with Stevie Richards somehow.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, if anybody's going to get kicked while they're down, it might as well be me. I'm the new Benoit.
Yeah.
In all seriousness, though, this is why throughout my entire career, and even throughout life in a lot of ways, I've kept people at arm's length, because you just never know. And because I can only control the kind of person I can be and other things. It doesn't mean I didn't have friends. It doesn't mean I did, but I'm talking about traveling and trying to be in control of my own schedule and when to train, going to bed early, these kinds of things. I really tried to avoid putting myself into the middle of any kind of situation that could be whatever, with guys on the road and having trouble at home or other things, or guys just are, you know, whatever it is. Do you see what I mean? Like, I just wanted to go to work, do my deal, go back to my room, play some video games, get up early for the gym, fly home, and not see these guys for another week. Sorry.
It's troubling, you know, especially as a fan. I know a lot of people are really, you know, I've never been that. I don't know how you could describe this. Yeah. I don't want to insult super fans, right? I don't want to insult them, but like, I'm able to separate my life from fandom. I know a lot of people, and this goes for everything, right? I mean, you're in technology. We talk about this stuff. I'm able to separate myself from fandom of anything, right? Because I watch things because I enjoy it. I don't watch it because I hate it. We're really positive on the show. You'll never hear Rich and I, you know, crap on a performer ever. We'll talk about what we don't like, but it's not done in a malicious way that we're trying to hurt somebody. And if I don't like it, and I always talk about this, the moment that I turn on Raw or AEW and I'm no longer enjoying this, I'm done. I don't need to do the show. I don't need to watch something and hatefully. And I feel like you're the same way too. You like what you like until you don't like it.
Well, that's the way wrestling should be. And that's kind of why the business, I think, is leaned on the crutch of the fans that are hoping it'll get better.
Yeah.
Like if they legitimately there's like Arrow, Legends of Tomorrow, those two shows had a real bad dip at one point, in my opinion, on CW. The only time I came back in was on Crisis when they all came together for the 4 or 5 days. I didn't say that like, man, I'm going to keep watching Arrow because I hope it gets better. No, this season kind of sucks and I'm out of here. I'll come back sometime down the road, which was really hard to get me back until the very final few episodes of Arrow. When they were, you know, Oliver Queen died and all that stuff. Sorry, spoiler alert. But that's what wrestling has had the benefit of. And that's why, looping it back around to the beginning, they had the opportunity and they still might have the opportunity to make WWE the movie.
Yeah.
to retool it, make everybody more over than they've ever been before. Because quite frankly, they're not as over as they should be with the machine that they have.
You mean to tell me that it shouldn't, their version of, you know, WrestleMania, where they have a graveyard match and a I was going to call it a Funko Pop match.
You can't say graveyard match because it's a banned word now.
Boneyard.
Yeah.
I mean, what is a boneyard?
It's a scrapyard. It's a junkyard, isn't it?
Yeah, we saw that happen.
Yards, like where the cars are and everything.
Yeah, but do you remember the one in WCW where everybody got hurt? They actually did that. This
might happen again.
Yeah.
So what are the matches now? Boneyard match, backyard match. What else? Couch wrestling.
Listen, maybe
partner,
you know,
wrestling,
what?
Boner championship. What do you got?
Maybe they'll highly produce it, do 24 frames a second, shoot it in 4K, have it like a film.
Listen,
don't you want the Undertaker shooting lightning bolts?
Don't get the hopes up of anybody watching or listening. Give me a break.
AJ Styles could fly down. Undertaker could shoot lightning bolts.
Do you think that even Impact has to have 24 frames? I have a 24. I got this. I have a 24 frame Sony A6500. They don't even have one of these at WWE.
There you go.
I could shoot in film. I should shoot my workouts in film.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't want to take more time. Listen, I love doing this with you, and I could talk to you for hours about essentially everything. But give a little plug where people could check out your podcast with Vince Russo and everybody else.
Well, you know, first thing, like I said, I'm proud of everybody that's invested in the Stevie Richards Fitness Resistance Band training programs, and also use the code Stevie5 at ForceUSA.com for the strength and conditioning stuff. And then the cardio stuff is DiamondbackFitness.com. Same code, Stevie5, Stevie the number 5. But every week we do the Raw SmackDown review with myself, Vince Russo, and Ben Hameen. And that starts to, like, we were trying to get this together. Tuesdays are like really long days. Wednesdays are long days too. And then Thursdays kind of caps it off in the morning. So we have Tuesday, we record Raw SmackDown review and Master Street Theater for Russo's Patreon. Wednesday nights at 7:15 PM, twitch.tv, can never say it, twitch.tv/conspiracyhorseman is the Conspiracy Horseman podcast for pro wrestlers talking about conspiracy theories. And we cover the coronavirus and other things out there about 5G and martial law and other stuff. We explore different theories, and we have people check in all from all over the world telling us what's going on. So it's a pretty good time to catch the stream and the podcast. And then we got the Friday Locker Room that Ben and I record, which will be up tomorrow. So you can go to hackerhameen.podbean.com. And if you want to see me constantly post Rob Gronkowski coming out to an empty arena to dance techno music, follow me at Instagram at Stevie Richards. Did you like my little meme on that?
I did.
Did you see it?
Yeah, I did. Listen,
he did come out like a creator wrestler, didn't he?
I couldn't figure out what he came at. Somebody posted, I think Rich on the Matt Men channel, he wrote, somebody please add Jeff Hardy's theme to this. And he came out to do and it matched perfectly. It really was a creative wrestler. It was, you could put any theme to it. Listen, man, I don't know. What is Gronk going to do?
I thought when I first saw it, because I didn't watch it live, because I don't know what I would have done if I watched it live. I watched it back on YouTube, which I didn't know was the WWE or Fox YouTube channel. And I said, did somebody like overlay audio and something? You know how people do that? Like,
yeah,
when something's going on, they overlay worst dance techno music. And I said, did somebody play a rhythm? I'm like, well, WWE on Fox YouTube channel. Holy God, this is real. Like, this is like the music that like somebody said when we think of Rob Gronkowski.
This is what we
hear. Jim Johnson was doing his thing with the guitar talking. This is Vader's when he comes out like a mastodon. And when this guy comes, no, they were like, when I think of Rob Gronkowski, I think of the douchiest, like there's an IROC parked outside the performance center, like the douchiest South Philadelphia club guy going in like Bahamas or something.
Well, that's what he's like though. Have you seen his videos where he's DJing?
Yeah, it's brutal. It's brutal. This is one time where I wish they, like, don't be yourself.
Yeah. By the way,
because if there was a crowd, they would have been just as silent.
Oh, yeah. It would not have gotten over. Depending on what town they were in.
They would have hoped they would have been silent, because you know what they would have done? They would have turned on him.
Oh, yeah. Depending on the town. Listen, if they were in Boston, that'd be a different story, right?
No, they would have turned on him. I'd stand by. They would have turned on. They were like, this, like, you want to see how to kill a legendary 9-year NFL career in 30 seconds? There's the blueprint.
The WWE could do it.
I'm sorry. I like Gronk as a pro. I like him too. And I like Mojo. I mean, dude, we're the boys. I mean, of course, like, you think anybody in that locker room wasn't laughing at that? I mean, they might not have laughed when he came back, but they were laughing, going, what in the world is this? And poor Mojo, who has been waiting for this opportunity, and I think deserved it. He's been through some stupid gimmicks. This was the time to have him, Gronk, Pat McAfee, have like an NFL crew rolling in.
I think Pat McAfee, actually, to be honest, that guy is phenomenal with them. Is he gone now?
It's weird. I think he lost the ESPN deal because he started cursing on his podcast again. Shit. I think that's still
it. Okay.
But McAfee's way, way too over for WWE. I think he's starting to see it as a step back.
Last year, you heard the story about the shorts.
Wanted to walk out of WrestleMania.
Yeah, they gave him shit for wearing. Who cares? Who cares what he's wearing? I mean, Lawler's walking around with the Rock shirts from 25 years ago still.
No, it's okay, dude. I like McAfee, and I just feel like he would have been a good mouthpiece for them. I think Gronk, if he was going to do something, he should have just came in as a wrestler with Mojo in attack.
Yeah,
and that would have been something, but. Dude, the bloom is already off the rose, and the horses left the barn. You don't have all the different catchphrases. You don't have a second chance to make a first impression.
That's all anybody's
going to ever remember about Gronk in wrestling.
To me, that's
the early era protecting the business. That's looking at it like, dude, this looks like just some dude just coming in and playing wrestler. He's not taking it seriously.
Yeah.
Did you get that impression?
It was him playing a wrestler when he came out. 100%. He was playing what he thinks pro wrestling is. But, you know, he's also an over-the-top personality. I don't know if it would have been like that if it was somebody else. I think if it was somebody else doing it, I think he would have gotten more of that where he's playing a wrestler. But
right, I want you to go to WWE.com and watch his interview about being the host of WrestleMania.
I didn't hear that. I didn't hear it.
Where they ask him, what are your plans for WrestleMania? And he goes, what are my plans for WrestleMania? I don't know. You tell me. And he ends it with, I'm the host with the most.
Oh, great.
What are your plans? And that's what they put up. So it's their fault. He said the word quarantine. He said one of the banned words and he stopped himself and they kept that take in there. So go to the website and check it out.
I got to check it out. Stevie, thank you so much for coming on, as always. Everybody, you can follow him on social media. We're going to have a link to everything he's up to. And that's it for this week, guys. Thank you again, Stevie.
I need
Stevie
to make
Richards.
One more announcement very quickly.
Ahead.
I have to announce my working relationship with Gronk Fitness is probably now dissolved. So thank you.
Thank you for that. Thanks. Yeah. I guess I can't have him on the show, but obviously they won't.
Oh, you sure can. He can read you, dude. I'd love to hear him try to explain it.
You know what? Maybe someone should ask him now on Twitter. We'll post this and someone could ask him. All right, guys, that's it for this week. We'll see you all next time. Take care.